Good morning. What a beautiful day to be inside. It is a beautiful day to be in the beauty of this place and to be gathered together in a spirit of worship. Always wonderful to see each and every one of you as we start our Sunday morning in a spirit of worship. I trust that all of you know that whether this is your first time worshiping with us, if this is your first time worshiping with us for a while, or if this is your 31,000th time worshiping with us, that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are and most importantly to share God's love with you. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, I invite you to look at the end of your pews. On either end, there's a little card that looks like this to fill out, has a little mouse on it. Just some simple information so that we can be in touch with you, to welcome you further, and so that you can be in touch with us to learn more about us as a faith community. On that back bench, on your way out to the right, there is a basket that you can set these in so that we can get them and collect them and be in touch with you. I do have a few important announcements to share this morning. As always, as I said last week, it's fall. We're in October now, so things are picking up and lots of things to pay attention to in our Herald and an Enlightener and also on Sunday morning. So this morning is Celebration Sunday. The weather is celebrating, and so are we. It is a day that we kick off our church year. It's a day of back to church. It's kind of just a marking of time, and it's a day when we celebrate and lift up a new church year theme. You'll be hearing more about this theme in the midst of our stewardship announcements in the next few weeks, but the theme that will guide us this year is, with faith, we move forward. Appropriate in many ways, and it's something that will kind of be in and out and guiding us as we move throughout our year. As always, the Board of Educators has little take-homes so that you can remember that theme. So on your way out, there will be a few of our Board of Educators members at all the exits hoping to catch you to grab a goodie on your way out. Speaking of goodies, all of the items for the college goodie boxes have been signed up for, which is wonderful, as you begin to bring those items back to church so that we can send them to our college students. There is a table for those items in the library on the other side of this temporary wall right here. So please feel free to bring them during the week or on a Sunday morning, and we will send them out. Another reminder, if you have a college student in your family that you would like a goodie box sent to, please make sure that Bonnie Weber or myself has that address by October 23rd. With Celebration Sunday comes the beginning of our Carry Out Connection, our Children's Sunday School program. We just had a wonderful gathering of young ones and parents and adults downstairs in our activity room to do our first week of Carry Out Connection together, which we will do every month. The first Sunday of the month will be together in person from 9 to 10. And the other weeks of the month will be, just as usual, taking your take-home bags. Those bags can be found in the narthex. Please take a moment to just sign out. Everyone is welcome to take one. If you've got a child in your family or in your life that you want to be a part of that program, please feel free to take one or two or however many you need. But just sign out so that we know where the bags went. It's just helpful to track them. An exciting announcement. After our service today, we will have fellowship downstairs. So thank you to the Board of Deacons. I know many are excited to have that gathering back. I saw some goodies being taken down there, so good things await. So after the service, after we greet one another and share Christ's love and peace with one another, you can head downstairs to the assembly hall for fellowship as usual. And our last announcement, I'm going to invite Andrew forward.
Good morning, everyone. Well, I had hoped to use this time to invite you to the opening of the 2022-2023 Artist Series season. You have probably seen by now, due to ongoing international travel issues, our group for this afternoon, Sfiati Duo, was not able to join us today. So no concert this evening, but don't worry, you still have a chance to see them. We were able to reschedule for February 1st, a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. So mark your calendars for that date, and you can always go to our website, www.stjohnsartistseries.org, to see our entire schedule. Thank you.
you, Andrew. All right, with all of those announcements in our mind, I'm going to invite you to file those away for another time and another place. And I invite you now to join me in taking a deep and slow and very intentional breath. Always a good thing to start a time of worship with a deep breath so that we can breathe in God's Spirit that is in our midst and is in each one of us. I invite you to exhale and to set aside all of those things that are worrying and busying our minds so that we might find ourselves fully present in this time and place, open to receive what it is that God has in store for us this morning as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you. We've come from the north, we've come from the south, we've come from the east, and we've come from the west. We've come today, we've been gathered by God's Spirit to be refreshed, to be renewed, to celebrate, to continue the journey, and to celebrate the Lord's Supper with Christians throughout the entire world. Yes, we have come to worship, to praise God, and to find our lives fed and transformed.
I invite you now to be with me as we join by confessing our sins together by praying our prayer of confession printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Gracious God, life is a journey, and yet we spend a lot of time working hard to maintain where we are and what we have. Forgive us when we avoid change and growth because it might cause us to have to try something new, stretch ourselves outside of our familiar comfort zones, and maybe even dare to make a mistake. Remind us that while there is risk in not knowing, there is also deep freedom because it opens us up to finding and following you in new and life-giving ways. Be with us, O God, as we embrace the mystery of what lies ahead and move forward with faith, remembering that you walk with us each step of the way. Amen. Friends, it feels risky, does it not, to confess our sins? It feels risky to claim our mistakes and to ask for help, but when we dare to do just that, God always meets us with mercy, with grace, and with love. We are forgiven. May we claim these priceless gifts. May we dare to live into them in ways that change us and change our lives, and may we offer them as gifts to one another. Amen.
Sometimes the journeys that we take are painful. Around the year 586 BC, the Babylonians stormed Jerusalem and carried the best and brightest away. It was a time of oppression. It was a time of anger. It was a time of dislocation. So hear these words from the Hebrew scriptures, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion.
On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you've done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. And from the Christian scriptures we call the New Testament, from the Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing and tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Thus ends the reading of God's holy word.
Okay, I'd like to invite children, small people, anyone who feels like they want to be a child this morning. I can use all the help I can get. All right, here they come. Oh, wow. Good morning. Good morning. So, I'd like to learn your name this morning, if I could. Do you know my name?
Pastor Dale.
Pastor Dale, that's right. I'm Pastor Dale. So, if you could tell me your name.
Gwen.
Gwen. And Gwen, what's your favorite color?
Magenta.
Magenta. Some sophistication there, Gwen.
Good one.
That's good. Your name?
My name is Rosie, and my favorite colors are pink, purple, and blue.
Pink, purple, and blue for Rosie, correct? Wow, I love it. It's a great blend of colors. Your name?
Katie.
Katie? And what's your favorite color, Katie?
Rainbow.
Rainbow. Yeah. Yeah. And your name?
what is it, Danny? Yeah. Yep, Danny. Danny, do you have a favorite color?
His favorite color is blue and purple.
Is your favorite color blue and purple? Yep, Danny. Danny's, yep. Okay. I like blue and purple as well. And your name?
Andy.
Andy? And what's your favorite color?
Pink.
Pink. Wow. Well, I have, well, I'm going to ask you, what do I have here?
Backpack.
A backpack. How many of you have a backpack that you take to school? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bring this backpack here to church every day. So if I was going to take a trip and maybe go somewhere on vacation, what would I put in this backpack?
A toothbrush.
A toothbrush. Let me just see here. Correct. First thing, toothbrush. What else?
A snack,
yes. And I do think there is a snack in here somewhere. Or maybe I ate it. What else would you pack in your nap? Toothpaste. I saw. Toothpaste. What else? Let me see. Do you want to see what else I put in here? Dental floss. To go with the toothbrush. Yeah. Shampoo. Oh, yeah. Shampoo, right? What else?
Something to read.
Reader's Digest. Quick and easy.
A hairbrush.
Mm-hmm. I'd put the hairbrush in, yeah.
Yeah.
Clothes, yeah. Yeah, I forgot to pack those. That's not going to work very well, is it? So, what else would you pack besides clothes?
Something to keep you entertained.
Underwear, yes. Anything else?
Maybe a drink.
I think so. Yeah, I definitely would pack a drink. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Are there some things that we can pack that don't cost anything to buy, but we should take them with us anyway?
Faith.
Excuse me?
Faith.
Faith.
Love.
Love. Oh, I like these responses. Faith and love. What else would you put in here?
Excitement.
Every bag needs some excitement. Yeah, those are things that you can't buy, but they're really important. And Jesus teaches us that probably the most important things that we carry with us, we don't have to buy. We don't have to buy love. We don't have to buy faith. Sometimes we buy excitement. But we can make our own excitement, can't we? So I want you to remember that today, that we are all on a journey, and that the most important thing in your life are things like faith and love and patience and kindness. So should we say the Lord's Prayer together? Okay. Does someone want to start? Oh, yeah, you're kind of in a nice semicircle. Does someone want to start it off? Yeah, go ahead. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for coming up this morning. It's been great getting to know you, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Okay? Take care.
I invite you to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we listen this morning, I pray that your word, a word that we need for the living of this day and the days ahead, might be in the midst of mine, and that that word might fall upon ears and hearts and minds that are open to receiving it. Amen. Well, my message has to do with backpacks, too. This monthly journey we are beginning in October, and our scripture reading from today from Luke's Gospel has me thinking of one of my favorite books. I think I've mentioned it before, but the book is entitled Wild by Cheryl Strayed. And I thought specifically of a scene where she is preparing to set out on her life-changing hike of the Pacific Crest Trail. Now, just a little brief background. In 1995, Cheryl Strayed had strayed. She was struggling with deep grief, with addiction, with broken and failed relationships. She was alone and scared, and she was desperate to find a new way. Now, knowing she needed a change, something to jar her out of her dangerous path, she chose a literal path, a path she hoped would help her find herself and heal her wounds. Now, the path she chose was an 1,100-mile trek through the grueling and beautiful Pacific Crest Trail from Mojave, California, to Cascade Locks, Oregon. Now, she knew virtually nothing about hiking or wilderness survival when she set out on her journey, so naturally, she bought everything the outdoor store had to offer. Now, there's a scene in the book and in the movie where she is in her hotel room near the trail's beginning on the night before her very first day hiking, and she's trying to fit everything I mean everything, into her huge hiking backpack, way bigger than Pastor Dale's backpack. Everything she tries to fit in there, so much so that she calls her backpack Monster through the rest of the whole book, and it's for obvious reasons why. She packs clothes, extra shoes, water, cooking equipment, food, medical supplies, you name it, she packed it. More and more and more. Once it's full, she tries with all of her might to sort of get underneath it and hoist it onto her back, but she just can't carry it. So she spends some time evaluating what she really needs. And slowly, even throughout her whole trek, she's sort of removing, taking things out, leaving things behind. All of that more that she thought she needed, it actually just weighed her down and crushed her. It turns out for us too, only focusing on more makes it harder for us to move forward. It turns out allowing the panic of scarcity or this nagging sense that we might not have what we need, when that is what leads us, well, that is a monster of a burden to carry. Now, we as a culture are always focused on the journey for more, are we not? More money, more power, more status, more time, more bang for our buck, more, more, more. But how often do we lose ourselves or become crushed by the pursuit of those things? How often does more of something become a burden under which we struggle to find the freedom to move at all, let alone move forward? Now, I don't know if it's sad or comforting that our culture, at least this aspect of it, isn't that much different than that of our gospel writer a couple thousand years ago. I suppose that humans will always be humans. You see, the people of Jesus' day were also on the journey for more. I think we're hardwired to believe that less is not more, but in fact, more is more. That too much of a good thing is an even better thing. That if something works, get as much of it as humanly possible. I don't think they had a Costco back then, but that's the Costco mentality. More, more, more. So much so that the apostles actually come up and ask Jesus, "Master, give us more faith." But wise, knowing Jesus, tells his disciples, "You don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a mustard seed, the Message translation says a poppy seed, it would be enough." Enough. It's a simple metaphor, a simple scripture, a simple word, and yet I believe it is the seed that Jesus hopes to plant within our hearts by telling this story. Now, faith is why we are all here, right? We want strong faith, sustaining faith, more faith. The assumption is that having faith means that our lives will be less of a struggle. And that having more faith means that somehow we will be totally cool, totally trusting, totally peaceful, and totally serene when the really tough stuff happens in us or around us. The trouble with that is it doesn't really hold water when things get tough. When the hard stuff happens, which it will, and when we feel all of the things that hard stuff makes us feel, which we will, not only do we have to feel all of that, sadness, grief, depression, anger, but then we have to kind of feel bad about it. Because if I had more faith, I wouldn't feel those things, right? And that just makes it all worse. I think sometimes, mistakenly, we think that having faith is being like the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And if I can just muster up more faith, God will shine more favor upon me, and then I'll trust God more, and then things won't be so bad, and I won't have struggle or doubt. The scripture even tells me that if I have more faith, I can uproot a tree, if for some reason we find that to be necessary. And then if that's our way of thinking, then our gospel text about the mustard seed kind of feels like Jesus is scolding us for not having even the tiniest amount of faith, which then can easily contribute to us thinking that if we have the right amount of faith, if we have more faith, the most faith, then the hard things in life won't be hard. But my friends, this isn't about Jesus scolding them or us for not having the most faith. Instead, when the disciples ask him to increase their faith, he responds by affirming that the disciples already have what they need. They already have the faith to do what is expected of them. We already have the faith to do what is expected of us. Jesus assures us that we don't need to go to Costco and stock up on more faith, bulk faith. We need to realize that as disciples and followers of Christ, the folks to whom Christ is preaching today, well, we already have the faith within us from the very start. And even if it's a small amount, that is enough. Our life of faith is not a constant competition for more. It's about realizing that God can do a lot with whatever faith we've got. It's enough. Now, that's a different message entirely than the normal story we are told. It's a bit hard to wrap our heads around for those of us who are always on the great American journey for more. Enough is a comforting word, isn't it? When someone says, "You've done enough, we have enough, you've made enough," it's an exhale. It's a word of rest, contentment, fullness, and peace. More makes us feel this sense of endless striving, working, trying, grinding. And more will never be enough because there's always more. And that's discouraging, especially when it comes to our faith. More feels like a word of the world, and enough feels like a word of God's kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that God always encourages growth, and there's always an opportunity for a deeper, richer, closer relationship with Christ. I don't ever want anyone in our church to say, "I've had enough, I've learned enough, I've done enough," right? Because there's always more to learn, there's always more to give, there's always more to serve. But I believe that God rejoices in the faith that we have now. God doesn't want us spending so much time and energy packing our backpacks full of faith just for the sake of having a full backpack, full of all the things that we think faith requires of us and all the things that we think faithful people carry with them, that we are crushed by expectations and can't even pick up what we have to move forward in faith. More does not always mean better. What if our journey for more became a journey for enough? We are about to gather around Christ's table and share in the sacrament of communion on this World Communion Sunday. And this practice, though we call it the joyful feast of the people of God, is not an eating competition. It's not a more thing. Even though most of us have left behind the individually packaged elements and the portions are a bit bigger now, I think it's safe to say that none of us leave Christ's table with full stomachs. Am I right? It is but a taste of the body broken and the life poured out, and yet it is always enough. Enough to refresh us, nourish us, connect us to people all over the world. Enough to remind us of the sacred story, enough to bind us with Christ for eternity. Eating and drinking more will not make that any more true. It will not earn us any more of God's love. We are, and we have enough, just as we are. And while this meal nourishes us to go out into the world to be and to make disciples, for now, may we rest in the enoughness, knowing that God is on the journey with us and that we do indeed have everything we need. Amen. Please be seated. We do indeed come in this time of communion on this World Communion Sunday, and I invite you to turn in your bulletins to follow along with our communion liturgy. To your table you bid us come. You have set the places, you have poured the wine, and there is always room, you say, for one more.
And so we come.
From the streets and from the alleys, we come. From the deserts and from the hills, we come. From the ravages of poverty and from the palaces of privilege, we come.
Running, limping, carried, we come. We are bloodied with our wars. We are weary with our wounds. We carry our dead within us, and we reckon with their ghosts.
We hold the seeds of healing. We dream of a new creation. We know the things that make for peace, and we struggle to give them wings. And yet, to your table we come. Hungering for your bread, we come. Thirsting for your wine, we come. singing your song in every language, speaking your name in every tongue, in conflict and in communion, in discord and in desire, we come, O God of wisdom, we come.
We remember these words that on the night of his betrayal and desertion, Jesus was with his disciples, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the midst of that same Passover meal, around that same table with those same disciples, after breaking the bread and sharing it, he took the cup. And after giving thanks for it and blessing it, and before sharing it with those he loved, he poured it out, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking at this table, that our eyes may be opened and we may recognize the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen. Just a few reminders before our communion servers come forward and we share in this sacred meal. As always, the wine can be found in the outer ring of each plate. All of the inner rings contain grape juice. Grace Bruin will be coming around with both gluten-free bread and individually packaged elements if that is what you would choose, so you have some options there. Just raise a hand and be sure to catch her eye if that is something that you need. And the most important reminder of all are welcome at this table, because Christ is the host. If you hunger and thirst for what Christ has to offer, you are welcome here. Come, for all things are now ready.
Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat."
This is for us the blood of Christ, life poured out that we might know life in all of its fullness. Remembering this, we take and drink.
Together, let us now give thanks. We give thanks, O God, for the nourishment we received at your table.
May we be bread for a hungering world.
May we be drink for those who thirst.
May we, the blessed, become the blessing, that everyone everywhere might experience the abundance of your love and fullness of life.
Amen.
Whenever people of faith come together, it is important for us to share our journeys. And those journeys indeed include joys, and they also include sorrows, missed opportunities, moments of celebration. So I have a few to share with you this morning as we prepare for prayer. The first two are awesome celebrations. Happy anniversary to Mark and Sarah Hogan. And happy anniversary to Leroy and Linda Horst. Leroy actually put a number on it, 56 years. And there are certainly joys in your lives. Also sadness. I want to share the passing of Dennis Mastin, who died on September 14th. And certainly you are all aware of the decimated landscape of Florida. Hurricane Ian just brought such havoc to Floridians and to those who live along the East Coast. In fact, we're experiencing some of the remnants of that today. But our hearts go out to those who have been so affected by this storm, for the losses that they have endured and will continue to endure. And so as we hold all of this, we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, you fashioned us to be people on a journey, not to be static, not to be passive. But you have breathed the life of your love into us so that we might become ambassadors of faith, of kindness, of justice, that we might take with us on our journey in life the wholeness of your love and share it with others, whether it be at home or at work, at the town meeting, wherever we go. Oh God, so often We come to believe that we are not enough, that we don't have enough faith, that we don't have the right words or know the right actions to take. Almighty God, you've reminded us that we are created in your image, that in fact we have all that we need to impact a hurting and yearning world. And so, God, remind us that we are sojourners of faith. On this day, we celebrate marriage and commitment and family and love. And we also are reminded of those who grieve, who have lost loved ones, who have been storm-tossed because of hurricanes. On this day, God, there are people with no housing. They're fearful. They're unsure. And they wonder what tomorrow will bring. Almighty God, bring to them a peace and a calmness, and inspire us to reach out and to help and to be your hands as well as your heart. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, our teacher, our mentor, our guide. And the love of the world. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
As we move into our time of offering this morning, I'd like to remind you that if you did not get a chance to place your envelopes or your offering in the plates on your way in, feel free to come forward after the service to place them in once they are already up front. They will be blessed all the same. I've also been asked to remind you of the QR code at the bottom of your bulletins. That's another way of giving online. So please pay attention to that if that's your thing. But now I invite you to join me as we stand and sing our doxology together, as our offering is brought forward, and as we lift it up to God together. Loving God, we pray that you take these gifts that our open hands and hearts have offered this day and bless them. Use them and use us in ways that show your love to a world desperately in need of it. Give us wisdom, thoughtfulness, and integrity as we use these gifts in ways that honor your call for our community and your call for us as fellow travelers on this journey. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus does indeed call us in and then send us out. But before you get sent out into the world, there's a few things to remember. On your way out, please don't forget to stop by one of our Board of Educator members who have a goodie for you to take with you. And then don't forget to head downstairs to Assembly Hall. If you've never been down there or you haven't come to fellowship time many years ago when we had it last, any of the stairwells will take you down there. The elevator through the elevator lobby will also get you downstairs. All hallways and stairwells basically lead to the Assembly Hall downstairs. Follow the crowd. Don't forget before you leave this space, however, to greet one another, to find someone that you've never met before or one that you have. Tell them you're glad they are here. Share God's love and God's peace with them before you go. And then, as you go out into this beautiful day that we have before us, having been nourished at Christ's table, know that you are enough and that you have enough. And may the love of God surround you, may the peace of Christ sustain you, and may the power of God's Holy Spirit go with you and stay with you this day and always. Amen.